Hi, everyone. This is John Snyson here from World Alternative Media. And today we're joined by Tim Pachote out there in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to talk a little bit about something that a certain guy, the Orange Man over there in the United States, was airing about a 50 and 100 year bonds. And I don't know, which nation was it that recently were talking about 100 year bonds that is not doing so well? Argentina. Well, of course, like they might as well, you know, put a unlimited bond, you know, a limited term on the bond, Tim. That's they might as well do that. Like, it's just stupid to say 50 or 100 years. They know that they're bankrupt. They might as well just let the public know how bad it is and get it over with. Like, stop, you know, giving life support to this, Tim. And Tim, if you can get into the article that you have there on what Trump exactly was saying about, you know, issuing these bonds.
Yeah, hey guys, this is Tim Pachote with World Alternative Media and the Liberty Advisor right now. So what we've got is an article that says U.S. weighs selling 50 and 100-year bonds after yields plummet. And basically they see that now that we're at an all-time low in at least on the 30-year yield, they're like, well, hey, why don't we stop at 30 and why don't we just keep going from there? But one thing I do want to mention, though, is here is an article from December 3rd, 2016. Here come 100-year U.S. Treasury bonds. And what this is in reference to is the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, you know, obviously former Goldman Sachs, was talking about how, you know, we needed to have, you know, 50 and 100-year bonds, and basically how, you know, stupid it was that the Obama administration was having all these short-term bonds, and, you know, only an idiot wouldn't lock these in for longer. But the problem why you can't lock things in for longer is that we are a deadbeat broke nation that can only afford, you know, paying basically nothing to hold on to our debt and have that debt mature and roll over. Whereas, you know, even if you wanted to all of a sudden have a 50 or even 100-year bond, and let's say we were in like a, you know, early 2017 situation, what would people pay for that? Probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%, which means the government is going to have to come up with what, $2-3 trillion in order to fund itself. No way that's going to happen. So what actually ended up happening is, instead of the average debt, which I don't have the exact number right now, but, you know, if you look at the average debt of the maturities of the treasuries, not only did they not go to 50 and 100 year bonds, they actually decreased the maturity of their bonds, because this is all an interest rate play, which also makes America very susceptible to changes in interest rates, because we've got just a you-know-what load of rates that are constantly having to be turned over. And when those rates are turned over, then they are susceptible to what if the Fed loses, not what if, when they lose control of interest rate situation, and now they need to start re-upping at much higher levels. Basically, America is done at that point. I mean, basically, overnight, the interest can explode. And some people will say, well, you know, the trigger could be China selling all of its bonds. Well, China doesn't even need to sell all of its bonds. All China needs to do is hold on to their bonds for, you know, probably 2 to 5 years, and the majority of their bonds would just roll off the balance sheet. What we're seeing is the complete zombification of certain companies. Now it's actually turning to the countries, because these countries cannot afford to sustain themselves on the debt loads that they have. And now you're even getting, you know, Trump talking about, you know, potential payroll tax cuts. So I'm going to get this up here on the screen momentarily. But I think what happened is the White House denied this. Then Trump was talking about it. And I think now he's back to denying this again. And what they're talking about with this is, for someone that's self-employed like myself right now, I not only have to all of set together the Social Security and FICA taxes and Medicare taxes before even I pay federal or state income tax, I've already got to have 15.3% lopped off right from the top. And so what Trump is talking about is having it go down to like 6, instead of it being right now like 7-point-something%, he's talking about having it go down to 6.2%. And at one point, I don't know if he's actually talking about what percentage they would make it, but at one point during Obama administration, they lowered it down to 4.2, which was awesome, because when I first started working, then I was only paying, you know, 8.4%, and now it's jacked up to 15.3. But it's funny that is only going to add to the deficit, because, which is fine by me. I mean, I'd rather have less money robbed from me for Social Security I'm not going to get anyways. And so that's what they're talking about, the payroll tax, is it would be a massive benefit. And during the original tax cuts, that was what was initially floated, and that was the initial plan, along with pretty much a, you know, gargantuan amount of tax cuts for lower middle classes. And I did a podcast way back when talking, or maybe it just been a Facebook Live at the time, talking about this, probably before I even had my podcast come out. No, actually, it was during the podcast because Trump was obviously president at that point. And so what had happened is I thought that was an amazing plan they had coming out. But then the plan that was actually passed was basically geared toward big Fortune 500 companies and fat cats. And yeah, there was some crumbs for the average, you know, proletariat or plebeians out there like us that get, you know, the crumbs that are left over. But the majority of the tax cut ended up going to, you know, the ultra wealthy, which, you know, is not going to bode very well for the president. So, okay, great job, Trump. You gave it to all the people that hate your effing guts are the people you gave the tax cut to. All the big Fortune 500 companies are the ones who benefited. They used that money to then buy back their own stocks. And then they had less stock outstanding, which then increased their earnings per share. And so pretty much everything that we've seen from the S&P 500 going up has been recently just been through multiple expansion, which means fancy way of saying people just paying more money to getting the same thing. Almost none of it has to do with earnings going up. Almost none of the earnings over the past, over the past 10 years growth has to do with earnings. Almost all of it is just multiple expansion, earnings per share expansion by companies borrowing money to then buy back their own debt. And so now if you can borrow money at negative rates, buy back your own stock, you're a CEO of a company, and now your compensation, because you get paid $1 a year and your compensation is tied directly to your stock, you can do a lot of things in the short term to boost that stock price. So Trump, I think, is absolutely wrong in trying to, you know, pin everything on his presidency to do with the economy, because this economy was dead from day one. The first podcast I ever did, please guys go check it out. You guys can go to thelibertyadvisor.com, upper right-hand link says show. Check out the very first one was warning everyone that voted for Trump, including myself, of saying, listen, Jesus could not save the Federal Reserve right now, could not save the economy right now. He needs to let things go down, and this will be blamed on, you know, socialism, the Democrats, what have you. I mean, I'm against both the parties. I mean, I own, you know, several domain names that are against the parties that I'm squatting on right now. So believe me, I'm not, you know, cheering for one of these sides. But what was happening is all these Republicans then started taking a victory lap. They started saying how great things were going to be. And then it created this self-fulfilling prophecy, excuse me, where the great news ended up meaning that the Fed lost the excuse to cut rates. And when the Fed lost the excuse to cut rates, then that then pricked the stock market bubble. Then when the stock market bubble popped, then the Federal Reserve said, oh man, this 2.25% Fed fund rate, that's way too much. So then now they're talking about having to cut it. Donald Trump is talking about having to cut it back down to 1%, which if you guys remember, 1%, and let me pull this up here on the screen, 1% was the level that Alan Greenspan cut it down to after the dot-com bubble. And now you've got Trump calling for the rates to go back down to 1%, which is absolutely crazy. You know, that what ammo are we going to have once we actually are in a recession? So we can do a lot of things to delay the day of reckoning. Ultimately, we're just going to make the day of reckoning much worse. And the worst thing that's going to happen is now the so-called free market, which we don't have, is going to get the blame. The conservatives, which also, you know, they're not conserving anything, in my opinion, except for the status quo and even getting more debt, they're going to get blamed. And then so the next round of people that come in, whether it's 2020 or 2024, are going to be hardcore socialists, which is a good sign for Bitcoin, a good sign for other things. And yeah, I mean, this is something that, you know, we've been calling out from day one. I had a presentation called The Trump Effect, and my good news is bad news, before he even got into the office. And so we are not Monday morning quarterbacking this. And to see now, you know, people, even, you know, the White House and mainstream media talking about potential recessions, it's crazy. I mean, it's all the stuff that we've been talking about, you know, for the past 2 years or even longer. And now even the mainstream media is finally, you know, acknowledging this.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, let me get back to, you know, the 100-year bonds and the craziness of this, because let me just mention, you know, in 2017, Argentina sold $2.75 billion worth of 100-year bonds in U.S. dollars. Of course, they were stupid enough to issue it in U.S. dollars. And now, of course, with just a couple of weeks ago, where their peso, you know, dropped 30% down in a day in value. So people lost, you know, let's say that you had 100,000 in your bank account, then suddenly overnight you only have $70,000 worth of purchasing power at the end of the day. And that is how substantial that drop was. Now, of course, those 100-year bonds that was heavily oversubscribed, you know, $2.71 billion worth of US dollars. Now, I believe, you know, probably you'll see Citibank and other banks are actually, holders of those bonds and their funds and so on. And there are probably a whole bunch of pension funds, pushing poor investors into this on top of having negative interest rates. You know, you're getting the worst of two worlds. They're having negative interest rates bonds, and then you're getting a 100-year bond from Argentina that, of course, it has dropped substantially, Tim. If you could pull up the article that I just sent you on Facebook Messenger, it's a Quartz article that shows, there's a chart there that shows the 100-year bond actual price valuation. And as you can see, it actually have substantially dropped over the last, just since about October, December 2018, this year, it actually have plummeted, and now since the currency devaluation, you've seen the value of the bond drop about down to 54% of its actual value. So that those bonds, they're in for whoever invested in those bonds. I don't know if what they were on, if they maybe some Wall Street bankers that have snorted too much cocaine or whatever it was. It was a terrible idea to get involved in any 100-year bonds. And of course, after, this is the interesting thing. So we're looking at the history of empires, and Josh is putting out a video on the Roman Empire versus the U.S.
And we do have this pulled up right now on the screen. So we do have the Argentina 100-year bond pulled up right now.
Yeah, exactly. Just look at that. But when you look at, the insanity of a 100-year bond, so let's look at history. Well, the United States has already been around for 98-plus years as an empire. Well, you're looking at the average, lifespan of an empire. It's usually just 110 years at the max. That was the British Empire, the last empire that was, really big. But then before that, of course, you had the Spaniards, the Portuguese, and so on. They were between, 100 to 80 years that they survived, and that they were a dominant currency. Actually, the Spaniards, their silver currency was based, was one of the bases of how they traded in the United States in the initial phases before they, created the Continental and printed themselves into oblivion several times and having more central banks after they tried to get their independence. And then, of course, the different dynasties throughout China. It's very interesting how that time frame, Tim, is. It's usually between 70 to 120 years. That is the time frame of an empire. And what you see is they actually live and die with their currency's purchasing power, usually, or their coinage purchasing power. When you talk about other, big powers throughout time. And of course, back in the day, they were able to live a lot longer because they couldn't just print mass amounts of coinage without, people coming in the way and say, this is BS. They were slowly throughout time debasing the currency. Well, now in the modern days, we can, debase currencies super fast, which we did, just over about 30, 40 years. And then on top of that, we have paper currencies that we could print. Well, actually, now we got electronic currencies that we could just print into oblivion within seconds. So it's the way we've gotten, to how fast an empire can, raise or fall. Look at China, for example, how massive of a raise they had of their new empire, their Xi Jinping empire that's, up and coming here. But the problem is they base it upon the debt system again that they did in the Song Dynasty in 1024. And of course, that debt is going to come and, really bite them in the back. They of course, built their empire upon the U.S. structure where they have, their Asia Investment Bank that they use the Belt and Road Initiative to go and borrow money to Pakistan, to a whole bunch of other nations, Zambia and so on. And then what they do is they build infrastructure, but the problem is that the countries can't pay for their infrastructure. It sounds familiar. It's like the IMF, loan sharks, and then they can't pay it. So well, now they just recently took over a hydro company and the airport in Zambia. So you're seeing the same activity, the same corrupt activity used by the Chinese Empire, and people believe that, the Chinese Empire will be around for so long. They I think they'll, you know, be able to go at it a little bit longer. But the problem is they printed so much money as well that, you know, they have bank failure. They just recently had a major bank getting taken over by the government, because I think it was the third or fourth biggest bank over there. So you're seeing all this printing of debt is just coming throughout history. It's just really falling apart when it comes to the whole monetary system. And then issuing, like, going back to the longer year-term bonds, is the trust in, you know, that a government is going to be around for 100 years. That's insane. I wouldn't trust, you know, the governments to be around for maybe more, you know, like 5-10 more years. But actually, I wouldn't trust the government in the first place. But, you know, that the governments will try to be around for another 5-10 years in the current structure, I totally believe that. But they're going to try to do whatever they can. You know, we were talking about in a report about negative interest rates and cashless. They're going to try whatever they can and do to, you know, funnel you into this slave grid, which, you know, the creation of mass amounts of debt and people investing that money into nothing of value. That is a huge problem that, you know, they haven't financially educated people in the school system. That's Robert Kiyosaki talking about that, you know, really have destroyed society. And it continues to do it because people are uneducated and they don't know the history of how money is put together, how money works. So I got a couple of really good books on that. One is The End of Freedom, How Our Monetary System Enslaves Us. And the other one is called Canada, the Greatest Economy in the World? Because there was an article in 2014, I believe, that said that, oh, Canadian banks are the greatest in the world. You know, Canada's the strongest economy in the world. And then, of course, I was talking about the debt problem that was underlying that. You know, I said this is going to implode. And now, of course, Canada is officially number two or three in the world of a massive real estate bubble in Toronto and Vancouver. They also have massive amounts of debt. Here in Manitoba, we actually have the highest credit card debt of all Canadians. So you're seeing this debt bubble that we built, and we've lived upon this system. You know, it's the same as the Song Dynasty that created, you know, credit and then created what was called the economic boom back in 2024. It's the same exact, you know, cookie cutter thing, just in a modern way that we're doing, you know, misusing the fiat currency, overprinting it and destroying the value of it over time. Meanwhile, you know, the elites, you know, keep on buying new assets on top for next to nothing in interest rates. Meanwhile, people, you know, are stuck with 19-23% on their credit cards that they're buying crap things with, that they're not, you know, investing or doing anything, because you have to invest today. And if you don't invest, you lose money because inflation is there. And the inflation is, you know, the printing of currency. So you really need to understand it and actually be on forefront, because if you just sit there with cash, even with a negative interest rate system, you'll still lose out big time. And it's so important to understand money and economics and how it all works today, because if you don't, you're going to get eviscerated, unfortunately. And that's what, you know, World Alternative Media and me, you know, what I've been trying to do for so many years, like almost 10 years now that I've been at it, trying to educate people and getting them to understand, you know, the true construct of money and what that is in a philosophical state, but also the whole structure, so they could actually be able to use that system for their bettering themselves, their own position in it, but then also protecting themselves against an eventual failure of that system too.
Yeah, and one of the things, while we're talking about different resources for people to kind of catch themselves up to speed, I'd highly recommend James Corbett, The Century of Enslavement on YouTube. And actually, I mean, we think we've got it bad on in terms of shadow banning. You can type in Century of Enslavement, and guess what? You'll see some of his videos, but it's not actually from his channel. So you used to type in Century of Enslavement, and it used to just pop right up with James Corbett. There's not a single one from Corbett's channel. So this video is... you know, it's not, it says, so we got one video from James Corbett, but it's not even that one on here. You can even go a step further and type in Century of Enslavement. Now, some of these videos are the videos. So if you type in here, it's just other people who've posted it. But then you go to type in his actual name. And so Century of Enslavement, James Corbett, you still do not even get James Corbett's own page on here, which means it's a really good video if they want to stop it and stop the feed from showing it. Because what happened, used to happen back in the day, you just type in Federal Reserve and James Corbett video was the first one that popped up, and you know, the powers that be were like, you know, hell no, you know, we can't have that happen. So I highly recommend that. Also, Mike Maloney's Hidden Secrets of Money Part 4, I think, is mandatory on this. I know a lot of people right now are commenting about Mike Maloney right now on the feed, but I'd highly recommend Hidden Secrets of Money Part 4. It's about half an hour. Make sure you're not doing anything else while you're watching it, mainly because there's so much stuff going on that if you're not used to the stuff, there is a lot being thrown at you really quick.
Yeah, watch it 10, 15 times.
And then share it. You know, I can't even tell you how many. And I actually do have a video somewhere where I'm talking about the Federal Reserve as well. So I'll try to link that down below where I incorporate that video, probably the best 2 or 3 minutes of that video into there. And yeah, I guess we're, you know, keeping along with you know, all these 100-year debts. I mean, one of the other big things, and I know I've mentioned this in the previous video, was talking about interest rate risk and what happened with Argentina. So if you have a 100-year bond and rates go up 1%, you almost lose 100% of your principal, which means you're locked into holding that bond for 100 years. Because if rates go 1%, 100 years, 0% interest rate, rates go down 1%, you basically lose 99.99% of the value. So if you need to sell, you can't hodl that debt, then basically you're screwed. You're pissing away all of your money. So the risk reward ratio. Well, A, there is no reward. You're at zero or negative. There is no reward. It's absolutely crazy with most of these. And then even in America where, yeah, there is some nominal yield right now, but it's probably negative once you factor in, or it probably would be negative once you factor in what the real rate of inflation is. Yeah. And so it's just absolutely crazy what's going on. And I can't believe we're even at the situation, because when people are like, well, when do you think it will collapse? I'm like, I don't know. Thought it was going to collapse 3 years ago. But then they keep pulling all these rabbits out of their hat. And I have made provisos of, yeah, when the things go down, then the other central banks will keep printing money and they'll keep pulling rabbits out of their hat. And well, one of these rabbits is, okay, we're going to do the payroll tax and lower that, or else we'll go and throw another bone. Like, they have all these different Hail Marys, but ultimately there's no way to save the system. Donald Trump, you know, really is his own worst enemy by talking up the system, because by talking things up so much, it then caused the Fed to be like, why, what excuse do we have not to raise rates now? And I was talking a year ago, this is the greatest economy ever. You know, we can't handle 2% rates, you know, 2.25% rates. I mean, why can't the greatest economy ever handle that? And if we can't start trimming the Fed's balance sheet now, then when the hell do you expect to do it, when we're not in the greatest economy ever? And we're already going to have over $1 trillion deficit this year, something I was talking about 2 years ago, predicting that Trump would have usher in $1 trillion deficits. And I've got some pretty funny clips when I was on certain right-wing shows talking about that, where they're, you know, saying, some people actually bet me some money on that too. So I doubt they'll end up collecting on that. But, you know, it's just a complete insanity that we are now talking about negative interest rates, talking about 100-year bonds. And it just shows you that we are at the end of the ropes, we're at the end of the system. Right behind me, it says King's Ransom. The reason it says King's Ransom is to start a conversation with people, let people know we're using the king's money, we're using the man's money. You take a look at your dollar bill, it says Federal Reserve Note. Note is a debt instrument, it's a bond, it's an obligation. We're holding debt in our pocket, not even holding onto what is real money. And then it says Federal Reserves, whose note it is? It's the Federal Reserve's note. And so they created money out of thin air. December 23rd, 1913, they issued their first dollar. That dollar had 4% interest rate on it. So how do you ever pay back a dollar four at the end of year one with a dollar? Well, you can't. So you've got to borrow another dollar and another dollar and another dollar. And so we're in a situation where we're at the end road of capitalism, when negative interest rates are destroying capital. And one way or another, the system is going to implode, whether it's through inflation or deflation. Really doesn't matter to me, but I will think long term that this will be, you know, good for a lot of other assets. But if you're a retiree, that's where you've got a lot of things to worry about right now. And I wouldn't want to do this on my own, or just try to go with whatever is the cheapest option out there right now. And maybe I'll link my Anarchapoco speech down below while it's still up there on crisis retiring. That is basically geared towards all the issues that people may have. Well, I think for now, I mean, that's probably, you know, I'm sure I could keep rambling on this subject now, but 5,100-year bonds is something that I know they were talking about it in 2016. I said it's never going to happen, but now that the yields are way down, maybe now they feel more emboldened. They're thinking, okay, maybe we can lock it in. If everybody else is negative, maybe we can lock it in 100 years for 2%. And if you're Mnuchin and Trump, why not? You know, people are dumb enough to borrow money for 100 years. You know, rates go up 1%, they've already lost all their money, and then they're forced to hold on to that debt forever. And so that's what you've got to get yourself acclimated with, the term interest rate risk. That's where rates go up 1%, the value of the bond goes down by the inverse of the duration of the bond. So you have a 10-year bond, rates go up 1%, underlying value goes down by 10%. You have a 100-year bond, rates go up 1%, boom, thank you for playing. You know, it's like the South Park clip, you know, and it's all gone. You know, because that's, you know, you, at that point, you might as well put your money into Bitcoin because, you know, 100 years from now, Bitcoin's probably going to be around, but guess what? You know, 100-year Argentina bond or bond or American bond. By the time you get your money back 100 years later, well, A, you're going to be dead, and B, you know, all the horses are going to be out of the barn, and it's not even going to matter. So I don't know if you want to take it away from there, John, about how crazy all this is.
No, instead of 100-year bonds, invest in raw sewage that has way more value to you than these paper assets that are fake, that are printed out of nothing. You know, we gotta start like seeing through this whole you know, charade that this monetary system is, and how they, you know, constantly keep on tricking idiots into you know, investing their life savings into their Ponzi scheme, because that's what it is. It's basically a Ponzi scheme, and we're hitting, you know, peak debt, where you see all the debt saturation, as I called it, is at, you know, a maximum high, where when you actually, in the current fiat monetary system, when you print money, when you take a loan out of the bank, you actually get that money, let's say 100,000, but then you've got to pay an interest on that. That money doesn't exist. The actual $100,000 didn't exist, but it actually exists on the ledger right now as a $100,000 you know, debt on your book, that you have to, a liability for yourself that you have to pay back. But then on the other side, the interest does never exist. So you've got to constantly have to add more and more debt on top to, you know, pay off the ever increasing interest, and the interest never stops increasing. And that's the problem. And now we're at a point where they're just paying interest, and you basically, if interest rates were to, you know, jump to 3 or 4%, the government would be bankrupt. How could they ever pay that amount of money when they're struggling now? And if you go to the U.S. debt clock, you know, they just with the current outlook of where they're going, they're looking at, you know, $3.5 trillion deficit in 2028. They're looking at $58 trillion in debt, which is, you know, over double of what we have now.
And that's assuming we have no recessions between now and then. I think the CBO, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is modeling no recessions between now and 10 years from now, which is absolutely insanity.
Well, yeah, it's complete insanity. And, you know, that's what it all comes down to. We live in a monetary insane world where, you know, the deranged, mentally ill, you know, PhD economists that think that they can manage the economy. Meanwhile, you know, there's 600, 700, 800 examples throughout history that tells them that they're wrong. You know, they're basically mentally ill, that they believe, and deranged, that they actually believe that they could, you know, make a difference now, and it's different this time. They gotta have to, you know, pick up your history books and start you know, start reading, you know, monetary history past the last 90 years and backwards, and then maybe you could understand a little bit more what's going on, instead of trying to have these idiotic policies like 100-year bond, 50-year bonds, and negative interest. It's not going to work. It's all going to fail. And Tim, I think that's it for this report.
You know, I do have the U.S. debt clock up. And what's interesting is I don't see where it has unfunded liabilities per taxpayer, because I know it used to have that as a line item.
Yeah, no, it's well, it's at the bottom. It should be unfunded liabilities. And I actually checked.
I think it's
$123 trillion. That's the official number anyway.
Well, it's 125 now, so you're a little
off. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, but so no, it used to have unfunded liabilities per taxpayer. So it has liability per citizen, but realize that most of the citizens aren't paying into anything, which, you know, I don't necessarily see the problem. We should get to, you know, 100% not paying in. But for right now, you know, that number, I believe, you know, probably 10 years ago, when I was first sort of covering this, it was close to $1 million. I think it was actually a little over $1 million per taxpayer back then.
Yeah, and it's more now, and it just keeps on increasing. And then you have debt on top of that. So it's just a non-ending Ponzi scheme that you can't keep alive. And of course, when the people when you can't get more people in at the bottom, which is basically, you know, remember how I was explaining the banks, you go into a bank and getting a loan. When that, you know, bottom level feeding the Ponzi scheme disappears, the whole Ponzi scheme falls apart, because there's nobody to pay the guys at the top anymore. And that's what's happening here. That's what we're seeing is, you know, it's such a textbook example of a Ponzi scheme, but it's like, it's mad, the actual you know, how they got away with this Ponzi scheme that's basically on a global level. It's insane. It's like, it's Bernie Madoff. He looks like, you know, a little guy that, you know, doing card tricks on the streets.
It looks like a choir boy. And actually, I do believe there is a quote from Bernie Madoff where he talks about, hey, what the government's doing compared to what I'm doing is child.
Well, before we end this, I saw an article about, I think it was a guy that worked with Bernie Madoff or something before that actually came out and said that, you know, GE is, you know, worse of a
That was Harry Markopoulos, who he blew the whistle on Enron, I think.
Oh, yeah. But he came out and saying how, you know,
he blew the whistle on Madoff. Yeah,
he's way worse. Yeah.
And there's a documentary, I believe, where it's like Chasing Madoff or something, where he stars in it and shows like all the proof, and he gave the proof to the regulators. But yeah. Madoff was, you know, at the time, I think at one point was, you know, the head of the NASDAQ, or like super high up in NASDAQ. So he was connected sort of like a Jeffrey Epstein, where, you know, the ultra elite, you know, have their own rules, you know, and that's a whole other can of worms. And one thing I did have up while you were trying to wrap it up and I kept interrupting you was I got the U.S. debt clock, and then I showed the gold reserves per country. And what's crazy is if you take these numbers of, like, even if you believe the official reserves and then believe that they're not actual tungsten that's in there, you take a look at it, and then you try to divide it by the amount of debt or the amount of liabilities, you start to see that basically it's just a fraction. I mean, well, we could run our government basically for like a month or two with the amount of gold that we have. It's just absolutely crazy when you start to price things in assets like gold. And so, all a big Ponzi scheme. It's all going down. We're here documenting this ongoing financial collapse as it occurs. And, you know, that way they can say there wasn't at least a few people out there who, you know, did see this coming.
Well, yeah. And before, you know, the U.S. empire falls, all the subsidiary currencies that are under the world reserve currency, the U.S. dollar, will fall as well. And I believe they'll probably fall before the United States dollar. But then, you know, it's again the trust game. You know, you could like guys like Martin Armstrong believes that, oh, U.S. dollar will still get strong after that. But the problem is, even though if you have the U.S. dollar as the one reserve currency left standing, people still lose faith in that because they sold the other currencies. Bill, like, why are we going to trust the U.S. dollar fiat currency system?
Because Trump said the dollar will always be the strongest a couple of weeks ago on Twitter. That's why you trust it, John.
Exactly. No, anyways, you know, Tim, we should end it off there. But again, you know, you should check out, of course, all the great work that we do and subscribe to our Subscribestar that we have. And we also, you know, want you to be able to support us in all other ways. We've been live streaming this actually on several platforms, Float, BitChute, and a whole bunch of other, a wide array of other, you know, decentralized exchanges, decentralized social medias out there that are not censoring.
YouTube
and others. Yeah, exactly. So there's so many options out there that you guys could start using now, and you could view us there instead of, you know, the censored platform of YouTube. But you could also, you know, help me out with my books. I have my books that I mentioned, you know, the Economic Truth and The End of Freedom. I also have a massive report on the debt bubble in Australia that I have on my own webpage, which is theeconomictruth.org. You can find everything there. And then also, last but least, we were talking about Mike Maloney. We actually, work with Mike Maloney, and we have a affiliate there with Mike Maloney, so you can check that out. In any of our videos, we have it linked below, the affiliate code, so you could get, you know, gold at a very high rebate right now in the United States. What we got to remember is gold and silver in the United States, in U.S. dollars, it's, you know, undervalued like crazy, because every other country, because they don't have the paper ETF Ponzi pricing, you know, they are actually able to, you know, be at record highs in all the other countries because they can't manipulate it with a paper contract. So, yeah, check Mike Maloney out. And then, of course, we have the Winnipeg Crypto Conference coming out now on October 11th to 13th. Me, Josh, Tim will be there. We're going to speak. And we have a fantastic, you know, amount of great speakers that's coming out to our event. That it's going to be a groundbreaking event for Winnipeg and a game changer for central Canada and central North and northern North America, because it's an opportunity for these people that usually don't have a big event like this coming together and actually learning everything that's going on with, you know, the options that you're building for people to replace this whole decrepit system. So check that out. You can go to winnipegcryptoconference.com and put in a promo code WAM. And of course, least but least, you got Anarchodelphia now in September. It's coming up right away. And same there, you got, you know, promo code WAM there as well. So if you're out, you know, on the East Coast, make sure that you go there, because Josh and a whole bunch of other fantastic speakers are going to be there, like Mark Passio and a lot of other great speakers. So please check those out. But this is John Snyson and Tipper Schultz signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change.
Boss Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges for creating a website. Please help free this peaceful man. Go to freeross.org and sign and share the petition.